Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to Journey to Your Higher Self. I'm your host, Crystal Melville. And today we are concluding the love series. Yes, it has been, what a time has it been. We got to understand what love is, where it came from, how it makes us feel, what it makes us do. And we were given titles and explanations and adjectives to describe love. And it's just been an eye-opener for a lot of us. And I really want to thank each and every one of you who have been listening, who've been downloading, and really gleaming from the information that has been shared to us. And fitting, and rightfully so, I would like to express that this final episode in the Love series discusses where love came from, why it exists, and what makes it so powerful. And today's topic is the master's love. So when you hear the term or the title master, we automatically think about a person in charge of us, a sovereign leader, someone that tells us what to do, guides us, someone that knows what to do, and we just listen, hear, understand, and do what they tell us to do, right? So I saved this topic as the last one because even though I have touched on the master in all of the episodes, I wanted to give this one a special treatment because in our world today, I believe that there is a serious lacking of knowledge as it pertains to how we all got here. You know, where did the world came from? How did it come to be? Who is really in charge? So this series really described the master. It described his characteristics. It described his plans, his goals, you know, the way he interacts with us on a daily basis. And, you know, do you know how that's done? It's done by example. Where do you think we learned how to do everything? It came from somewhere. You know, there is an origin to all of the things that we encounter. There's an origin to our thoughts, you know, and there's a method to this. There's a method to everything. It is a well-planned out process. This life is a well-oiled engine. And I wanted to give us all today a glimpse into who the master is. Because, folks, people are watching our lives and asking if the master is worth following, if the master is worth listening to, if the master is worth emulating. So rightfully so, we need to know who the master is. What is he? What is his agenda? What is he about? And why we should listen. So, as a proof for my view on this topic, and by the way, I would like to reiterate that my worldview is biblically based. So I believe I've mentioned that in prior episodes. Everything that comes out of my mouth is biblically based. I can take you somewhere, we can break bread together, and I can show you where I got this from. And first of all, everything that I tell you, who I am, my calling, what I'm supposed to do, all of this has been spiritually discerned. I never read it in a book what I should be. I never read it in a book how I should interact, what I should do. Everything has been spiritually discerned and downloaded into my mind. So, by the Master. So, rightfully so, I need to bring you on this journey. This is not only my journey, but the journey of our race, the human race, that is. So, we're given an actual account of the Master's actions throughout the Bible. And we begin at the beginning, the book of Genesis, where we are brought into a scene. And this scene is the creation of the heavens and the earth and human beings. That's us. This is us. So we begin in Genesis 1 that reads, "In the beginning, God did this and that and so forth." Sequentially, orderly, and lovingly. So the Master's love is our topic. It is the last episode of the love series. And I want you to know that the Master's love just is. It just is. It exists eternally. It is spirit-led. It is out of love. It is wholesome. It is true. It is pure. It is faithful. And it is unconditional. The book of Corinthians, chapter 13, gives us a descriptive look, a descriptive explanation of what love is. Love is patient, love is kind, love is long-suffering, it's not boastful, it's not puffed up, it doesn't insist on its own way. You know, so right then and there, I believe if every person listening right now to this explanation, we should be convicted. Because oftentimes as human beings, we don't act that way. So does that mean that we're out of love with the person that we're communicating with? Not necessarily, but it just means that how we're handling the situation is not out of love. It doesn't mean you don't love them. It means that how you're handling the situation is not out of love. So we need to come back into compliance. We need to be regenerated. We need to forgive. We need to ask for forgiveness. And we need to come back home. So, what does love look like? Like I said, it is pure. It is honest. It is faithful. It's unconditional. It loves you in and out of time. The Master's love is unconditional. He doesn't care how you look. He doesn't care how much money you have. He doesn't care where you live. Because the Bible also says that God gives man the ability to get wealth. He gives us everything. He supplies everything for us. So who are we trying to impress, really, though? Of course, one another. And that's not done out of love. It's done out of pride. The Master's love is also exemplified in the book of John, chapter 3, at verse 16. It is, I don't even like to say the most popular verse, because all of them are noteworthy, because God's work is complete, but it's the one that's most celebrated around the world, among Christians. And even non-Christians. And it's John 3:16 that says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the one that is of him, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that is a powerful statement. It is a powerful statement to make. It is a promise. And it is imperative, and it is important that we take heed to that. It is important that we believe it, because if we don't believe it, it says we will perish. He who receives must first believe. He who receives salvation, he who receives deliverance, blessings, all the good things that a human being can desire, we must believe that we have it. And by the way, this gift is because of God's grace. We didn't earn it. We didn't do anything to deserve it. Because, as you know, we are sinful. We are filthy rags. We sin continually. So how does one understand the Master's love? How does one accept it? How does one appreciate it? You must first believe that you are worthy, because God said so. And this is the thing. This is the reason why people are right now, as I'm speaking, suffering from all manner of illnesses and disease process and situations that are causing them to be enslaved in the mind, in the spirit, in the physical realm. Because they simply do not believe that they are worthy of love. They don't believe that the Master's love is enough, that it covers their sin, that it covers their pain, their guilt, their shame. They don't believe this. So man's greatest sin is unbelief. First of all, unbelief that the Master exists, that the Master's love is real, that the Master's love is enough. This is man's greatest sin. So, we also have another account in Exodus 20, where God gave us the laws to govern us, to keep us on the right path. And again, we also see, even when God delivered his people, Israel, from bondage, they still, some of them, many of them did not believe. They just went ahead with the masses. They went with the flow and they got out. But those that didn't believe, oh yes, they perished. They were consumed, and their generations after them. They did not enter into the promise, because you can't. You can't come into the door that leads to eternal life with unbelief. Because if you don't believe it exists, how can you go through it? You think you're going to just tag along and hang on to someone's coattails and you're going to survive? No. An unbeliever is an unbeliever. It's just that. There's no gray area. There's no middle ground. You will be extinguished, because that is evil in God's sight. And if you are an unbeliever and you try to tag along with believers and pretend as though you believe, oh, you will be exposed. You will say something because your mind is already warped, and you will say something and you will be caught. The imposter. You will be caught. You will be extinguished, because you can't, you know, one bad apple spoils a bunch. That can't happen. So folks, we have to get this right. We have to obey the Master, obey his will, and fall in line if we expect to inherit eternal life. And we need to get that right here on earth. Many are hoping and waiting to get to heaven and thinking, oh, all will be well then. All needs to be right now. Everything needs to be set into place. Our houses need to be in order today. Not tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. So, what does the master's love look like? Well, for starters, it's not condescending. Oh, no. But it's rather kind. It's graceful. It's wise. The master's love is not resentful or bitter. It's rather forgiving, loving, understanding, empathetic. It's not condemning. It's rather inclusive. Whosoever will may come. No one is left out unless they want to be. The master's love is not biased. It doesn't only stand for one thing and let others perish, or it's just. It's right. The master's love is true. It's pure. Sometimes it's unseen, but it's still evident. That's how powerful his love is. So how do we benefit from it? Well, we're reminded of our future. We have hope. We have hope, and we, guess what? We can have peace right now, this very moment. All we have to do is believe. It's a choice. It's a choice to stay in our current situations. It's a choice to believe that things will get better. It's a choice to believe that this person will change. It's a choice to believe that we deserve this life as it is, or we can do better. It's a choice to believe that we're enough, that God's love is enough, that God doesn't keep a record of our wrongs. He doesn't keep on bringing things back up. When he forgives you, it's a done deal. The question is, do you forgive yourself? We're encouraged to share our treasures and the good news. We learn of that in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, where Jesus tells his disciples to go ye forth and teach. This is the Great Commission. So, folks, we have an obligation to go and teach. That's what I'm doing right now. So I'm fulfilling the Great Commission by what I'm doing here. And you can do it in other ways. But make sure you're doing it. We're given guidance daily to be better people. Yes, every day we receive fresh anointing. It's a new day. It's a blessing. Yesterday is gone. We wake up. We've made it through the night. Our minds are at peace. Hopefully. For those that believe that God can cure anything. He can calm the seas. He can stop the pain and the hurt. You know, if we truly give it over to him. Some of you may be asking, how do you give it over to him? How do you give him the burdens? I'll tell you how. And this is not preconceived. I didn't write this down anywhere. You know, I also want you to know that all of my podcasts are not they're not pre-recorded. They're not, you know, I don't have a script. I do have an outline of what I want to talk about, and I just talk. So whatever you get from my lips, come directly from God, for you, for us. So how do we give it all up? How do we give him the burdens, the cares, the pain, the hurt? I'll tell you how. He wants me to tell you to trust him. You see, it's who we identify with. You know, life isn't just about going on the path. It's about who we go on the path with. Who is our master? And when you know you have a master that loves you, oh yes, the path is worth going on. Because no matter what happens, you know you have someone that has your back. Folks, it's a matter of trust. Who do we trust? Who do we listen to? Who do you listen to? Where are you looking for advice? For peace, for calm? You know, there's a scripture in the Bible where Jesus was in a boat with his disciples, and all of a sudden, a storm arose, and the seas were very rough, and the disciples were afraid. But you know what Jesus was doing? He was lying in the boat, asleep. And they were like, "He's sleeping?" And they were, "Master, cannot that we perish?" Jesus arose. And you know what he did? He spoke to the sea. He calmed the sea. Now, if I witnessed something like that, I would be convinced that as long as I'm with this person, I should never, ever worry again. So, if you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you trust in him, and you believe in him, then you should know that it doesn't matter what you're going through, what you have gone through, you will get through it. It may seem like a storm right now, but as long as Jesus is with you, and you speak to the storm and you tell the storm, "Jesus is with me," it has no other alternative but to cease. So for example, if you're in a terrible relationship right now, or if you have a troubled child, and you speak to that person and you let them know, "Jesus is with me," they will have no other alternative but to back off. Let me tell you why. Because if Jesus is with you, your actions will be different. In the case of a parent and a child, let me explain to you what occurs. If the parent does not establish their role as the master of the home and lead with love, the child will sense that. And they will react to it with the same behavior that you display. They'll basically give it back to you. So you will be at war, at conflict. But if you establish that Christ is the center of your home and you raise your child with Christ-like love, with the master's love, that's what they will return unto you. See, it's not that hard. That's what they will return unto you. And when you remind them of the Christ that you taught them, oh yes, they will cease that unruly behavior. And that's all you have to do every time. Hit repeat, repeat, repeat. Because you know why? When you have laid that solid foundation, and you raise that child to know those things, see, that's what they'll remember. It's all in that foundation. It's the mindset. It's the environment. It's in the mind. Oh no, it's not a game. This is real life. You have to remind them who is really in charge. that spirit that's raging within them is not in charge. Oh no, Jesus is in charge. Have you ever heard the term putting the fear of God into your child? That's how you do it. Not with a whooping or a beating or any form of abuse. No. When you remind them of the Jesus that has provided for them, taken care of them, comforted them. Oh, yes. When you put him in his rightful place in your life, in your home, in your marriage, oh, those seas have no other choice. Those raging seas have no other choice but to cease. Try it. So, how do we show or emulate the Master's love? We emulate the Master's love by showing empathy, forgiveness. We take on the role given to us as believers. We become seekers. We become givers. We will utilize the spiritual gifts given to us by God at His leisure and disclosure to include wisdom, prophecy, interpretation of dreams, giving, miracles, and so forth. We will have a keen sense of edification. We will be able to exhort the word of God as it is given to us. Friendship will be our method. Our parenting would be seen as a mantle to the world. We would have stronger partnerships, marriages, and our leadership would be paramount, unmatched. Because a leader is known by his subjects, by the people that he leads. Just like a child is known by the parent that leads them, and vice versa. If you go into a classroom and you see the behavior of the students, that teacher is the one that will be exemplified. How that classroom is based on the behavior and the teachings of that teacher. Folks, it's not hard. It's a matter of our belief systems. It's a matter of our mindset. It's not a matter of the life process. It's a matter of who we're doing life with. Who is our master? And in order to experience his love, we must know that he is. Our job as the Master's children or subjects are to seek, give, and bring the neglected and lost people in from the cold. When we have been transformed and experience His love, we're to share it with others. And that's done daily. In the way we speak to one another, whether it's on a telephone, through an email, through a text, through our social media posts, our podcasts, whatever we do, people should know who we represent. People should know who we do life with. People should know who our master is. So I implore you to get to know someone that you don't know. Someone in your community. Someone in a place that is often overlooked. Some people who are neglected. People who are abused. I implore you to reach out to them. Because they need you. They need us. I implore you to be people that the master will be proud of. This episode concludes the love series, but it will still be available on the site. It'll be available on iTunes for you to go back and play each one. You can play this one over again. You can play each one of them over again. I encourage you to share it with someone who needs to hear this message. I also, at this time, would like to share with you the next series on Journey to Your Higher Self, and it is entitled Purposeful Unions. Okay, so love is the purpose. Love is our foundation. So now we get into the relationships. And this is going to be a special treat because people are often occupied with relationship matters. Everyone is always talking about this person or that person, what this person did to me, how they make me feel, who I'm with, who I'm not with, who I'm connected to, who I follow, you know. So it's only fitting that we continue on the series with relationships. And I'm calling them purposeful unions because these are the ones that we need to seek out. We will talk about the relationship between God and man, God, man, and woman, God, man, and marriage, God, man, and servant, God, man, and the nations, and God's eternal love for mankind. So it will be a series of 6 episodes, and I invite you to come back. I invite you to join me on this new journey. Life is a journey of journeys, and it will end when we are no longer on this earth, but there's another journey. And we will talk about that on another journey. So I want to thank you all so much for allowing me to come into your homes, your workplace, wherever you are, wherever place you find peaceful or quiet to listen in. And again, please share this with as many people that would benefit from this message. I pray that you benefited from this message. I pray that this message touched you in some way. I pray that it brought you relief and joy. And it made you full of expectations. I pray that it allowed you to breathe easier. I pray that this message gave you hope. I pray that this message gave you an insight into who God is. And again, you will also find that through the other broadcasts on this series. So thank you so much for joining me today, and I look forward to seeing you next time on Journey to Your Higher Self. I'm your host, Kristen Melville. Bye, friends.